Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. May the peace that only God has be with you. This is Nazim Rashid, author. Nazim Rashid, personal growth specialist, author and talk show host of my own show called The Reconnected Show. And you regulars know that I have the spot on the Imam Alfred Muhammad Show on Wednesdays. And I was doing a whole series on recovery, 12 principles of recovery based on my book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. We finished that up last weekend, so it's very important to catch all these series here. And you can go into blogtalkradio.com/Imam Alfred, and you can actually get all the shows right there. They're all archived right there for sure. All right? So today we're going to start a new series on relationships, Improving and Repairing Relationships, Part 1. Improving and Repairing Relationships. Mm-hmm. It's so very important to have the right tools for the right job. You have to agree to that. Right tools for the right job. You see, we go to school for, 12 years minimum if you want to become a doctor, because people want to know that you know what you're doing before you, pick up that knife and open them up or prescribe a certain medicine. You have to prove yourself worthy before you get the title of doctor. For any profession, you have to spend a certain amount of years learning that profession, being licensed, being tested, before you're allowed in the field to do that and make some money. Isn't that right? Yeah. All right? So why is it with the most important thing we can think of in life, that's marriage, why would we think of that in a short-sighted way and not study, what's necessary to become a good mate? Not study, really learn what we can do to be the best mate ourselves and to attract the best mate to ourselves. Yeah. So I'm telling you, before you get married, it's important to go through a process, go through a training period, do some studying. My book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self, is an excellent relationship manual along with other things, other benefits there. Learn from that book, learn from my book, or learn from somebody, you see, and have a counselor, There's nothing wrong with seeing a counselor. That doesn't mean you're crazy either. Just see someone so you can make sure you're not bringing some unconscious baggage to the scene. Yeah, for sure. All right? Now, how many of us have had good role models? I haven't. When I grew up in Chicago, I did have a mother and father, but my father was a workaholic. He worked all day and doing day job and all night on his other jobs, And the mother, she worked overtime in the house, and so, they both came from a farmer background in the South, uneducated, so they didn't know how to connect with us, the kids, emotionally. They didn't know how to do that, and they didn't know how to connect to themselves, you see. So growing up, I didn't see a romantic, mother and father. I didn't see them interact a whole lot like that. It was business, and that was about all. We didn't see conflict resolution in the house. We didn't see that. We didn't see any of those things. So I had no role models as to what a good marriage would be for my parents. That's what it's supposed to be, by the way. Children growing up see what their parents go through, and they say, this is how a healthy marriage is supposed to be. This is how a healthy wife is supposed to act. This is how a healthy husband is supposed to act, as they're noticing the mother and father. Just, okay. And this is how they interact in a healthy way. Oh, that's how it's supposed to be. Okay, now I know what I'm going to do when I grow up. Because I'm seeing it at home. Oh, this is how it's supposed to be. I didn't have that. And a lot of you did not have that either. We didn't have any role models. We didn't have any role models. So we didn't know, what a healthy marriage looked like. You see, we didn't know. And then when we see things like the Cosby Show that was on, 10 plus years ago, more than that actually now, we say, that's just Hollywood. That never happens. Black family acting like that, doctor and lawyer, that doesn't happen like that. But it does happen in a lot of circles. It does happen. We present it with a healthy form, A form wasn't, You know, I mean, it was a form. There could be other forms there too, but that was a form of a healthy relationship. You see? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So we didn't have it growing up. So here we are, teenager, you know, your hormones going, you want to have sex, and, you know, you don't know what you're doing there either. And after a while, you want to get married, get a nice paying job. You don't know what to do. You just want to hook up with someone and have some kids. You don't know. You don't know. It's best to find out beforehand. And if you're already in a situation, okay, then learn, you know, learn from those who have been there, you see, and just kind of pick. Look at TV, you know, healthy models on TV. Find out who is doing it correctly. Who is doing it right? What husbands are treating their wives wonderfully? What wives are treating their husbands wonderfully? Huh? What couples are having fun? And then we kind of pick those right there and say, oh, okay, we like that. We like this. We like that. We might have to put it together. You see? You put it together ourselves and create our own healthy model. Because if you want to have a healthy marriage yourself, you got to have something to, you know, as a goal it works toward. So if you got to put together a model, say, I like this trait in this one. I like this trait in that one. I see on TV, I like that one in this movie. Okay, that's why I want to be for myself. You know, yeah, I want that for myself. And we can have all that and more as long as we accept only that which is healthy and life-giving in our relationships. Yeah, like I said, I didn't have it growing up. I didn't have it at all. I had to learn the hard way. You see, you know, everybody wants to feel good. So you want to get somebody that makes you feel good, you know. Of course, you want to make others feel good too, so you kind of had that in order. But, you know, there's a whole lot more to that. Whole lot more. Because, see, as you're bringing your history, they're bringing their history. And we're all operating unconsciously from our histories, you see. So there's a whole lot we got to do, a whole lot we got to do, okay? All right, very important to understand this, all right? All right, now, very first thing I talk about in my book here, forgiveness is a first base. Forgiveness. Now, just like I was talking about histories, you bring your history, she brings her history, okay? You know, we've done some things that we weren't that proud of. So we got to forgive ourselves for making some wrong mistakes. So just doing things we had no knowledge of. You see, it caused some problems in our lives. You see? Gotta forgive ourselves. You know? And if you're in a relationship, in a marriage, and your mate's done something, we gotta forgive them also. You see? Yeah, we gotta forgive them. You know? We can't hold on to old grudges. You know? Well, you know, 25 years ago on July 19th at 4:30 in the morning, you said this and such, you know, and you meant it too. We hold these grudges. See, get rid of them. Those grudges become a burden on you, a burden, a weight you're carrying that you don't have to carry. You see, get rid of them. So forgiveness is very, very, very important. And with forgiveness, we mean to kind of, let go of some stuff. Let them go. You don't need to have that in your life, you see? And more we learn how to forgive, okay, more we can have a clean slate in our marriages. A clean slate, that's what you need to have. You know, because you come to the plate and she comes to the plate and both of y'all have, you know, stuff on your plates from what happened before. You're not going to have a fresh plate with one another. It's not going to happen like that. It's not going to happen like that, you see? So when you forgive, you release them and associated feelings, you know, release them. You know, you aren't necessarily forgetting what happened. You're just releasing the attached feelings, okay? All right? When those feelings are separated from you, the burden you are carrying is gone, you know? Now, I'm going to talk about if an infraction, you know, if somebody, you know, broke the law, you know, say if she or, you know, she's saying, well, you know, you hit me upside the head, I'm calling the police. We're not talking about that, because if, you know, someone's done like that, you got to call the police. We're not talking about that, you know. So we're not talking about that at all. But our idea is that when you carry stuff from the past, it slows you down in your future and your future goals, you know, and aspirations. Don't do that. So the act of forgiveness is really an intelligent choice. Mm-hmm. You want to forgive so you can move on with your life without the baggage of yesterday's unharmonized events. Mm-hmm. When you say, I have forgiven you, you say, I'm now releasing you and no longer am I emotionally connected to you. Okay? So it's all about releasing the emotional connection. For sure. For sure. You know, it's hard to be with someone and back your mind saying, I'm with her, but she does that one more thing and I'm gonna go off. You know? I remember what she did, last week and I'm gonna go say nothing, but as soon as she just, looks at me funny, I'm going off. That's not good. That's not good. You keep harboring those feelings, it will come out sooner or later, and it's going to harm the relationship. You see? No. All right? So it's very important to do that. Very important to do that. What does matter is that you are, when you go through the experience of letting that feeling go, you see, it's going from your consciousness. Your emotions are now free to think and harbor the good that you want to occupy your mental space. So when you get rid of that bad thing, the thing you don't like about her, him, and the sister there too, what happened, you're freeing that space to put some positive things in there about them. It's always, it's always some positive things that are there that sometimes we forget. When we get mad, we forget those things, that's why it's always important to remember the good things, good things. And so forth. Even though you might be mad about something, remember, she made that grilled salmon with the ginger inside. Man, that was good. Boy, yeah, she really, she threw down there, Or, she might say, man, he surprised me by detailing my car. I didn't ask him to or anything. And before I knew it, man, that car was shiny. I could see my face in the reflection. That's a good man there. You see? So you start thinking about the good things about the person. You get filled up with those good things, and that's why you start smiling, a special smile. When you look at that person, that special glow is there again. Okay. All right, we got it going on now. Well, that's what forgiveness is all about. Forgiveness is a way of honoring your soul. When you hold on to thoughts, emotions that create havoc within, your soul is disturbed. Your blood pressure sometimes is elevated. Your sensitivity level is too high where your trigger buttons are easily pushed. You know that's right. Believe me, when your buttons are easily pushed, there will be people out there that will push them. And believe me, she will push them eventually. The energy from those buttons goes out into the universe, and makes and seeks out those who want to push those buttons. You see? The energy draws people. We're talking relations. The energy draws her into your space to do what? Push those buttons. And there you go, getting angry and not knowing how you got that way. Mm-hmm. Very, very important to understand that. So we have learned how to let those things go. Let them go. You see, it's not important. And like I said before, in the beginning, if you didn't have good role models for this in the household, like I said, I didn't, then you have to really work harder. Work harder at this. That's why we had to study. I had to study. I had to study, psychology in school. I had to study relationships. I had to interview couples. I had to read, And so I had to do a lot of study myself to figure this whole thing out because a lot of things didn't make sense to me. Didn't make sense, So that's why I'm telling you right now, and I got this book, this 412-page book called Reconnected that everybody should have right now in their hand. So it's very important to understand that you have to take time to learn these tools so you can have a happy, fun-filled marriage. Yeah. Anytime you think about your wife, your husband, you should smile all over. Yeah. You can't wait to see them. And every time I see him, you light up. When you touch her, she touches you, you get, especially energy goes all through your body. Have fun. Help one another in the kitchen and help one another around the house and have projects where you do things together, you know, and have fun together. So it's very important to do that, see? But when you harbor these grudges, you know, it gets in the way of your fun. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So it's very important to understand what I'm talking about, you know? So we have the, when you understand the benefits of forgiveness, the benefits, you're more likely to just do it and get out of the way. But too many times we say, well, if I forgive that one, she might do that. You know, because you're operating on a level of mistrust. Well, if I let that go, what's she going to do next? Let that go, what's he going to do next? I'm not letting him get away with that one. No. Yeah. You know, but you got to trust your mate. Trust is very, very important to do. Absolutely, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and remember I said forgive yourself. You know, there are always items you can change if given opportunity. You know, in your past, there are people that hurt you. You hurt yourself in many ways by sabotaging opportunities. When you forgive yourself, you are releasing the self-hate feelings and self-sabotaging that you have been guilty of. When you forgive yourself and others, you're ready for this exciting journey, the journey inward into your higher self. Yeah. See, many of us don't know ourselves. When I say self, I'm talking about that higher self within. Now, we know that lower self real well. Oh, yeah, we know that one real well. That's our buddy. Mm-hmm. That's where the conning and lying and, you know, adulterous behavior and scheming and all that kind of stuff and, you know, going against, you know, God's, you know, way and all that. We know that self real good. But there's a higher self. A higher self that's connected to God there. That's, you know, that is all about right and love and compassion and charity. A lot of us don't know that self. That's part of us also. Get to know that self. That's real important, you know? So forgive yourself and then learn how to forgive your mate and have a happy, wonderful relationship again. You can have all this and more if we learn these simple principles, okay? Yeah, for sure, all right? Now, for those of you who have my book, Reconnected, you know, forgiveness is the first chapter. That's why my book, Reconnected, is a relationship manual. Before I go to the next area, which is validation, you know, let me run down all the chapters in the book here. We've got forgiveness, validation, self-esteem, visualization, self-image, communication and listening skills, optimism, gratitude, faith, spirituality, attachments, codependency, and addictions, 12 principles of recovery. Yeah, in those two chapters I was talking about for past, 4 months or so. Yeah. Identifying and managing emotions. You need a lot of help in that area. And how to be a mentor to your child self. I teach in the last chapter how to go back in time, you see, and recreate scenarios in your childhood where you have a happy ending instead of a negative one. So even though you can't change what happened, you can change the feelings associated with what happened in the past. And that's why I teach in the book in my workshops. Yeah. So the book does that. Okay? Yeah. It's a book for the a transformation of your negative experiences to positive memories. Learning how to love yourself at deep levels and create the life you've always desired. Absolutely. Yeah, it's a parent's manual, a relationship manual, mentor's manual, teacher's manual, an addiction recovery manual. Yes. A human manual, for sure. Help us to get really connected to God, too. Absolutely. That's definitely part of it. All right? Yeah. Now, forgiveness. Everybody got that part. That's so very important to do, you know? Learn how to trust. Learn how to let go of things that are petty, you see? Again, you're not forgetting. If there's an infraction that was made upon you, you need to call the law or call somebody and take care of that for sure, you know? You know, and you can love to see, look, if people have to go to jail, you can love them from a distance. So we're not talking about, you know, overlooking some breaking the law situation. No, not that at all. Okay, so get that straight. All right? Okay, next is what? Validation. Validation. This is so, so very important. And this is a real touching for me because, you know, the reason I wrote the book in the first place is because of this one right here. Validation. You see, when you receive personal validation, you feel you're worthy. You know, feel like you're worthy. You feel like you can do anything. You see, because someone believed in you. Someone thought highly of you. You see? Yeah, for sure. You know? It's the number one need you have, personally and in your marriages. All right? Very important to understand this. See, everybody, you know, little ones need to know that they are okay inside, that they are not mistakes. They are wanted and not some result of a one-night stand. Got to know that. They have value, all right? They have a reason to be alive. Their spirit deep inside is loved. They have real meaning here. They have a purpose for being here. They do matter, okay? That's important to understand. All this is in validation. See, the big word in validation is value. Value. See, children need to know that they're valued, that they have value, they're worth something. Why be around if we're not here? In my case, you know, my parents never validated me. I never had anybody special in my life there. So actually, I kind of played suicide many times, many, many times. We had a two-story in Chicago, and one time I was on the roof of my brother up there, and I looked down below, and I was trying to picture the exact spot on the side below that I would land, so there'd be no chance of recovery. Yeah. I was fanciful on taking myself out. You know, I was belittled by my brother and wasn't validated. There was some empty hugs here and there, but idea that there was nothing that touched me as a person inside from anybody. So I didn't feel like being around. You see? And some of you might feel like that also. So this whole idea of validation is very, very important. You know? Now I could have taken other routes when I grew up. I could have taken the routes of not validating anybody because I wouldn't validate them, being a bully and being mean. But I didn't. I took another route, you know, being real compassionate, knowing what I didn't get. So I want to give that to others. You have to validate for your parents. You have to validate your children. Tell them they are wonderful, you see. It's important to feel like you are important. Know that your feelings are real, very personal to you, and should be acknowledged as such. Feel okay sharing those feelings and personal outlooks and perspectives. Feel like someone is not going to ridicule you or in some way disrespect you behind your expressed feelings. All this is validation. Feel at ease discussing what is deep inside. Being okay being vulnerable because you feel safe with the other person. Validation here. Feel like life has purpose and value. You feel like God has a mission. You have a strong sense that God wants you to be a vehicle for His way to reach people. You see? How many parents know this? Yeah. Now, even though we're talking relationships, it starts here. It starts with a person. It starts with you individually. Were you validated as a child? Now, I don't mean I don't mean compliments. Compliments are good. For example, say, for instance, you brought home some art. You said, "Mommy, look at this art I just drew," and she says, "That's what you did. Great job. That's fantastic job." Okay, you go away. Good. That's a compliment. She invalidates you. As she validates you, it would be like this here. You bring the Or you say, "Mommy, look at this drawing I made. Girl, this is good. You are so good. You've got this inside of you. You've got this artistic ability inside you. God has given you a great talent here. Yes, you did a great job. That's how you are, though. I knew it. I expected that from you." Oof. Feel the difference? That's validation. That's validation right there. See that? That child felt good inside. Yes. You're good at this. God has a mission for you. You've got this inside of you. I knew you'd do a good job because that's what you're about. Oof. Those are strong validating statements. See the difference? Yeah. 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 So in relationships, if we don't value the relationship, it's not going to stay. Yeah. And brothers, if you are not doing your part, you see, in a relationship, that means you're not validating that relationship. If you're validating that relationship, you would do your part. You would make sure that value that marriage has value because you're contributing to the value of it. That's very important. You validate that unit, that God-approved unit called marriage. Yes, you're validating it. Mm-hmm. You make sure it has value. You're contributing to make sure that it has it because you're putting it in there. You know? Invalidating your spouse also, making sure she feels that you feel she has value. Yeah, absolutely. But treating her in a wonderful fashion, or sister treating him in a wonderful fashion. You see, and what we do, this is a part of building up the other person. Yeah, when you do that, what do? You increase their value. Yes, yes. As you invest more validation energy into the other person, you increase their value. That is so very important. Understand what I'm talking about? Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So again, it all goes back to childhood here. And when children don't get validation, the emotional scarring starts taking place, and problems begin. Okay, it all starts here. Bill, I'm telling you. If you look at a lot of marriages that are on the rocks, you can trace it right back to something that happened in childhood for both of them, at least one of them, if not both of them. You see? Lack of validation is responsible for most problems youth are having today. They have a spirit inside that is needing attention so badly that their spirit compels them to act out. Act out, hoping someone out here will hear the real need inside. Act out. Act a fool. It is a parent's responsibility to provide constant validation. Parents need to know and recognize the spirit inside the child. Pray that you love it. Their spirit or soul is very, very important to the child and should be important to the caring parent too. Their spirit belongs to them, is unique to them, and should be respected by anyone who is in their personal environment. Their soul should be honored and respected by both the child and the parent. The parent should support and encourage the child to honor their spirit within. You see? Ask a child at different stages of the development how they're doing inside. Parents, this is how you do it. See, and this is how you do it. This is how you also groom a good marriage partner later when they grow up. See? Yeah. Yeah. How do they view the world? These are the questions healthy parent asks the child. How do they view the world? If the child could change something or anything out there, what would that look like? If they were in charge, what would then change and why? See, tell them that you're glad they are here. That's powerful by itself. Yeah. Tell them you're glad that they're here. God has a special gift for them, and they have a mission here in this life. Yeah. They are valuable and needed here, both in this family and later in the world. They're conceived in love, or want to be both before the pregnancy and afterwards, and you, as the parent, feel blessed that God chose you to be the earthly parent for them. This is very important. You see, how many parents do you know that have done this? I don't know any. But think about how you would feel if your parents told you this kind of thing. You see? Yeah. I'm giving you some healthy ideas of validation that we could bring into a healthy marriage. You see? Absolutely. So once you even tell yourself these things, be your own parent for a little while. Look in the mirror and tell yourself these things. Yeah. Yeah. Say, I'm glad you're here. In the mirror. God has a special gift for you. Talking to yourself in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a mission in his life. You are valuable and needed here, both in this family and later in the world. You were conceived and loved, were wanted both before the pregnancy and afterwards, and I feel blessed that God chose you to be, you know, be there for me, you know, kind of change the words around, you know, so it fits. You see? But talk to yourself. No one validated you, you validate you. Knowing that God already validated you. God created you in the excellent mold. That's in Scripture. Excellent mold. Yes. Giving you a fountain of abundance. Yeah, yeah. It's very important to understand that. You see? And when you really get a sense of what this whole world is about, and you could validate yourself and others, just think about that. You see? Think about how your mate will feel if you consistently with validating the relationship consistently. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. By doing your part. Yeah, that's validating it. Because remember, it's adding value to it. Mm-hmm, for sure. That's very important. All right? Now, I'm giving you a family example of validation here. I got a whole bunch of these in my book, Reconnected. A family example, so you can kind of get a stronger sense. I want everybody to really own this idea of validation. Internalize it so you can start doing it today. Again, today. See, I don't believe in abstract education, abstract, you know, knowledge. If I can't apply it, I can't use it. Huh? Isn't that how you feel? Right. So I'm giving you something that you can use today. All right? All right, the family, here we go. Validation wasn't present in Megan's home. Put some names out here. Megan's home wasn't present. Those were the days when adults said to the children, you're meant to be seen and not heard. Now, I grew up with that. Do y'all grow up with that? That's very familiar. Children's voices and opinions weren't valued, and Megan's certainly was not. As far back as she can remember, she experienced a lot of energy in the house. Her sister was a nervous hurricane. No attention was given to what Megan thought or how she really felt. Family members did not have any idea that she had some negative issues within, as her environment wasn't one that invited individual expression. She wasn't comfortable expressing herself, and no one bothered asking questions that would make her feel at ease and letting feelings out. She didn't bother expressing herself much at all, except to make wisecracks say what everyone expected of her to say. She was known as the comic in the family. She used humor as a mask, which gave the impression that she was fine. She was bothered a lot by her sister's constant bullying and ownership she felt she had of her. Like, you know, she was bullying her and a boss of her all the time. Megan's mother told her and tells the story constantly of her arrival here. She said that when she was pregnant, her sister had a real problem. She was 5 years older and didn't relish the idea that someone else was coming along to take any of her turf and attention away. She says, no, I don't want her. No, 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 I don't want her. I don't want any. No, no, no. I want this territory all by myself. No matter how much Marianne, that's the mother, yeah, Marianne the mother, tried to comfort Heather, the other sister, she said, no, 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 I don't want her. But when she came home right after delivery, Heather outstretched her little arms and said, I'll take her now. Somehow, with time, she accepted having a little sister. But what was her idea of sisterhood? What was her idea and role of being the big sister? What was her idea of how the relationship would be in the house? See, in Heather's mind, she saw herself as the owner of this new creature in the household. Many of y'all can relate to this. We have siblings who are bullying you. Yeah. She took responsibility in her young, undeveloped mind of controlling and caring for this new person under her rule. Here Megan was an infant and then a young child growing up feeling controlled by a strange person called Heather, her older sister. The other controlling figures were her mother, and sometimes her father. Heather would act in a mean, controlling way many times. For instance, Heather had a pattern of making demeaning comments to Megan. She called her derogatory names and ridiculed her, making her feel bad. See, again, no validation. See, children absorb everything in their environment, although they can't verbalize what they are receiving. Megan absorbed all the controlling spiritual energy that her sister was demonstrating. She was internalizing the demeaning and disrespecting of her spirit that her mother was displaying. Mary Ann should have corrected Heather sternly, thus demonstrating that she was standing up for Megan's well-being. Again, no validation for her sister, none for her mother. Since Megan was not validated ever as a child, she didn't know how to stand up for her own spirit. She didn't have the feeling that she was good inside, that she had real meaning and a reason to exist. Therefore, as time passed, Megan's sister knocked her down and would change the channel on television set at will when she was watching. This was subtly telling her that Heather was in charge and Megan was not in charge of anything, not even of herself. You see, one morning on a freezing El Dorado winter day with deep snow everywhere, Heather decided to pull another prank on Megan. Heather grabbed Megan from her top bunk bed while she was still asleep, carried her downstairs, and threw her right into the deep snow. Heather laughed hysterically while Megan fought frantically to get out of the snow, struggling to get back inside to the warm house. Marianne also laughed as she lightly scolded Heather. This was another demonstration that resulted in Megan's lack of value, support, protection, self-esteem, self-image, and sense of worthiness. You see what I'm talking about? So I kind of give you this little fictional family model that lets you see what happens when someone does not get validated. That's very, very important. Very important. You know, so this is true again for the relationship. You don't value something. What happens, you decrease the value and it goes away. So we're trying to, what we're doing here, our intention, is to give tools. Give tools so that you can always use starting today to value the relationship. Yeah. The whole title of this is called Improving and Repairing Relationships, Part 1. You see? So we need tools. We first talked about forgiveness. All right? And now we're talking about validation. Okay? So again, if you were not validated, remember, it's talking about adding value to you as a person, then do it yourself. And find couples. You know, find what I did. I sought out older couples who had together, you know, who've been married a long, long time, 40, 50, 60, 78 years, you know. They had together. I studied them. You know, one of them kind of adopted me in the Oakland area, adopted me and took me in, which was fantastic. Yeah, for sure. I got all the validation I missed when I was a child. I got it then, for sure. It was wonderful. You know, and seek them out. And you might say, there ain't no one around. But see, once we ask God to, you know, show us the way, show us some couples who have love between themselves, you know, who are husband and wife who are loving one another. They have fun together. They love holding hands. They compliment one another all the time. And we see the wife by herself. She compliments the husband and vice versa. You know, and it's always a spiritual connection there. And if you were to ask God to show you those couples, God will show you those couples. They'll show up sometime. They'll show up. You see? And then feel the energy around it. It's good energy, life-building energy. This is the kind of energy you want to always have and use for ourselves as we're preparing ourselves to be the best mates possible. Yeah, we can do this, okay? All right, now, the next thing is area is what? Self-esteem, all right? Now, before I go into self-esteem relationships, I want to do a little commercial here with the book, okay? And I'm reading and expounding on my relationship manual called Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. Again, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. Yeah. And everybody should have this book. You can get this at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. A lot of you are actually, you know, living close to Barnes & Noble. We can go right in the store and possibly they have it on the shelf. If not, then you can ask them to order the book. And this is true for those of you who are listening outside the country. You can go to Amazon and Barnes & Noble, or you can go to your local bookstore and ask them to order it. Since the book is on the Barnes & Noble catalog, they can order it for you. I was talking to somebody in Indonesia about this whole thing. I told them that that's how they can get the book. Go to their local bookstore and have the bookstore order it, all right? Now, my website is Clouds of Abundance, cloudsofabundance.com. You can email me, and I'd love to hear from you, at nrbookclub@gmail.com. nrbookclub@gmail.com. Again, nrbookclub@gmail.com. Okay, for sure. You can order a book on my site, too. All right, but get it. Very important. Very important to understand this. We need to have tools for our transformation. We need to think differently about marriage. You know, a lot of times when there's a breakup, it's because that one party has a image of marriage that is not shared with the other person. You see, we come into a marriage with two different pictures, two different concepts of marriage. So when the other person acts contrarily to the image that you have, you get upset, saying to yourself, they should know better, she should know better, he should know better. Why should they know better? They're operating from a different image than you are. You know, according to their image, they're very correct. They're right in line. You see? So we don't share our image with the other person and expect them to automatically be on our page. That's a problem. Communication skills. That's a problem. Let the other person know, hey, this is my image here. You know, I see my wife doing this. I see my husband doing this. This is what I'm contributing to the marriage. You see? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And this is, you know, this is how I see it being successful. Is this shared with you? Do you see the same thing? Are we on the same page? You see, you have to share that. Don't assume anything. You know, can't do that. Can't do that at all. All right. Everybody got that? Very important. Very important. All right? Okay. Now, self-esteem. I mentioned some of this in validation. Now, a lot of these things are intertwined. You know, because, you know, self-esteem is in validation, and that's kind of part of it also. All right? But a lot of times we have a distorted view of what self-esteem really is. You know, it's not correct. It's not just feeling good. A lot of times you think that it's feeling good. You see? Yeah. So very important. Now, I'm a student of Dr. Nathaniel Brandon. You know, I went to this series called Psychology of High Self-Esteem. I'm going to quote him right now. Here's a quote about that. He says, quote, I cannot think of a single psychological problem from anxiety and depression to fear of intimacy or of success to alcohol or drug abuse to underachievement at school or at work, to spouse battering or child molestation, to sexual dysfunction or emotional immaturity, to suicide and crimes of violence that is not traceable, poor self-esteem. Yeah, unquote. Your success or failure in life is directly tied to your level of self-esteem. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Self-esteem pertains to how you experience yourself, how you think and feel about yourself, not how other people think or feel about you. Yeah. Genuine self-esteem is you trusting you, you believing in you, you having a confidence in your own mind and your own ability to judge. You experiencing yourself as deserving of happiness. You perceiving yourself as a decent, worthwhile, lovable person. Yeah. And oftentimes when you hear people talk about self-esteem, you hear simply that means how you feel, how you feel. This by itself is so misleading. For you can feel good by drive-by shooting or taking drugs or having an adrenaline rush of robbing a bank. You know? Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, so it's very important to understand that it's not just feeling good. You know, remember before I was talking about your lower self versus your higher self? Yeah. When you feel good in your lower self, that's not self-esteem. like myself, when I was doing drugs, I feel great. Fantastic. On top of the world. But that wasn't self-esteem. That was an illusion of self-esteem. Yeah, very important to understand that. I went through that. Self-esteem speaks to the intrinsic value of you. Talking about now the higher self, not the lower self. It is an assessment of your competence to live, your worthiness, and your happiness. See, what is your estimate of you? Too often, people say they feel good about themselves, but they really don't value themselves adequately. No, they don't do that. At various times, they may have suicide ideations or fantasies, right? Or other negative fantasies about themselves. So we have to go a bit deeper when we are investigating the idea of self-esteem. High self-esteem speaks to the level of integrity that you have. Real inner confrontations won. Reconciling your inner self with your outer self, which is the basis of my book, Reconnected, is also about assessing, see, your real courage and how honesty is attained and internalized. High self-esteem is much more than just feeling good about yourself. It is reflected in your personality, your productivity at work and at home with your family, your character, your general way with people, and the spirit that you carry with you always. Yeah, for sure. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, in case you want to ask a question or comment, you can just push #1 on your telephone, and I'll see that in a switchboard. And when I see that, I'll bring you on, and then we can have a nice conversation, okay? Yeah, so just push #1, and I'll see that and bring you in. All right? All right. Okay, there are two components of self-esteem, a feeling of personal confidence, a feeling of personal worth. Okay? When you have high self-esteem, you feel confident and worthy or appropriate to life. See, I wasn't appropriate to life. That's why I had the suicidal fantasies when I was growing up. You see? With low self-esteem, you feel inappropriate to life, wrong as a person. See, many people suffer from feelings of inadequacy, insecurity, self-doubt, guilt, or fear of full participation in life. They may experience a vague, nameless sense that they are not enough. Yeah. Man, it's still that way, that we just don't feel that we're not enough. We're just not enough. You know, that's another reason for having these bad marriages. You want the best, but you feel you're not enough. You see, you're not enough. And when you marry somebody, you might marry someone that's great and fantastic. But you feel you don't measure up to them. You don't measure up to her. Or she might say, you know, I don't measure up to him. He's doing so much. He's so concerned about the family, so concerned about me and the household. You know, and I wish I had a mindset like that. I don't feel like I'm good enough for him. You see, I'm not good enough for her. I'm not good enough. You know? What happens? You self-sabotage the marriage by thinking those kind of thoughts. You don't feel deserving of the best, you see? So when you get the best, you don't keep it because you feel you don't deserve it. And when you get someone who's less than, you say, well, why don't you straighten up? Why don't you straighten up? See, you're not happy either way. You're not happy either way. You know. By the way, I want to say Ramadan Mubarak for all those who are fasting. I'm fast right now. My throat's kind of dry now. So everybody have a happy and fantastic fast out there. So it's like that. Were you ever told that it is quite normal and natural and wonderful to feel great deep inside you? Did your parents ever tell you that? Yeah. At the core and in your quiet moments, you should have good feelings about yourself. Place a high value on your existence and that you have a God-given right to be happy. Man, that's good. It would have been healthier for us if we had been told that we were a great, unique, special creation that God had put on this earth to perform miracles. God has given you a mission that belongs to you exclusively. God has certain blessings he has created for mankind. He wants to deliver them through his special creation, you. Yeah. Just think about how you felt if you had, you know, heard all those things. Well, tell you these things now. Tell yourself these things now. That's why I love mirror work. Very powerful. Very powerful. Therefore, as you're developing in a healthy manner, you are preparing yourself unconsciously, maybe consciously, to become a vessel for God's blessing to mankind. Everybody understand that? Yeah. When you're not developing in a healthy manner, God's blessings cannot come through you, and hence, mankind is deprived. It should be apparent now why it is so important to be healthy. Yes. It is also important to model for others what health looks and feels like, so others can be motivated to be that way too. You have to really feel that you deserve health, happiness, and the abundance that life has to offer. Yeah. Deserve it. It would have been healthier for you if you had been told that you had an endless supply of gold and treasures within and everything that you need for the complete fulfillment of your life, like Scripture says. God says he's given you everything you need for the complete fulfillment of your life. The healthier and stronger you become, and the more insight of your own greatness you realize translates to you being able to tap that reservoir inside and thus receive the benefits. Now, that all by itself should make you feel good. I'm telling you, you should feel, you know, tingling up down your spine from that, what I just read and recited there, huh? Yeah. See, I know how the best marriage, you get to have these things in place. So you bring that to the table. And think about it. And she brings her part to the table, which matches what you have. Man, you have a dynamic marriage. Both of y'all are feeling great. Deep inside. Oh, yeah. Very powerful. Very powerful. Very powerful. You know, I believe in affirmations. You know, right now I'm looking at my wall. The affirmations everywhere. Affirmations. You see? And it's important to have reminders, constant reminders, you know, of your greatness, of the greatness that God has created in you. You know, God says he's created you in the most excellent fashion. You need reminders. Reminders. You see? Yeah. And this way, see, they keep you up, you know, which makes you the best mate for a marriage. Again, we're talking about marriage. All this relates. You know? Here's the affirmation. I have the X factor for greatness, and I am automatically attracted toward those people, places, and events that elevate my highest potential. Isn't that good? Man, that's good. That's on my wall. Okay, look over here. Okay? I am one with the power that created me. And I express for myself the greatness that I am. Whew, that's good. Mm-hmm. How about this one? I rejoice in who I am and know life is here for me and will supply me with everything that I need. Another good one. Mm-hmm. I am at peace. Divine peace and harmony surround me and dwell in me. I feel tolerance, compassion, and love for all people, myself included. Yes. Life supports me and brings me only good and positive experiences. I trust the process of life to bring me my highest good. Yeah, very good. Mm-hmm. I'm free to think wonderful thoughts. I move beyond past limitations into freedom. I'm now becoming all that I'm created to be. Mm. It is my birthright to live fully and freely. I give to life exactly what I want life to give to me. I'm glad to be alive. I love life. See, these are all information. I'm telling you, affirmations that we need to have all around our board, you know, all around our board, our walls. The more you recite these things to yourself, the more internalized this self-esteem energy comes inside you. And this is building you up from the inside out. Yes, this is very important. You know, wives love this kind of thing. When husbands feel like this about themselves, wives love it. Vice versa, too. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. How about when those negative voices come knocking on your door? All right, how about this one? I say out to every negative thought that comes to my mind. No person, place, or thing has any power over me, for I am the only thinker in my mind. I create my own reality and everyone in it. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. I am mentally and emotionally equipped to enjoy a prosperous life. Yes, that's right, prosperous life, a loving life. It is my birthright to deserve all good. I claim my good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My unique creative talents and abilities flow through me. And I express in deeply satisfying ways. My creativity is always in demand. Mm-hmm. I move from success to success, joy to joy, accomplishment to accomplishment, abundance to abundance, prosperity to prosperity, contract to contract. Yeah, isn't that something? Yeah. Well, these are all affirmations. I'm giving you the building blocks that every successful spouse needs to have. Okay? Remember, you're talking about having healthy, not just a marriage that you tolerate. How long can you tolerate something? I'll tolerate her for right now. You know, and one brother says, he drives around till he sees the light go off in the house. Then he comes in because he doesn't want to hear her mouth. Isn't that something? Drives around till he sees the light go off because he doesn't want to hear her mouth. Isn't that something? You know? So we got to, you know, realize the negative things are actually character defects we have within us that destroy the marriage. You know? And once you are harboring these negative character defects, kick them out. Kick them out. You know, one is not trusting, mistrusting. Mistrust. That's one. Mistrust. For some reason, you just can't trust the other person. They might have done something, might not have done anything. But if you have a mistrusting nature because of your own past, you bring that into the relationship, what's going to happen? Problems. That's what's going to happen. Yeah, she or he would be dumped on by you. You know? This is why we need to have affirmations. We have a whole bag of negative stuff, you know, that ruled us, that, you know, that came from our lower self. So now we're trying to build up the higher self, like a battery that's been dead. Now we're trying to charge it up. That's what these affirmations do. We need to have this, okay? We need to have this. It's so, so very important to understand this, you know? Here's another one. I moved away from poverty thinking to prosperity thinking. Yeah. I trust the process of life. There's a rhythm and flow in life. I am part of it. That's a good one. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I'm a divine, magnificent expression of light. So these are things that are so important to say over and over and over again. You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, they heard in The Secret. Remember The Secret? They said it's like you have like 6,000 thoughts a day. I don't know how they get that. But think about it. We have so many more unconscious thoughts than conscious thoughts going through our mind all the time, from the moment we wake up to the moment we shut our eyes. How many of those thoughts are thoughts that you have planted, you have constructed, you have established, you have said? How many thoughts are your own conscious thoughts? How many? Remember, what you think about, you bring about. You become what you think about, you know? So we're ruled by our most dominant thought. And so I got to realize that since, you know, we're going to have these voices talking to us, why don't you create the voices? You create the script. You create the script. Yeah. And when you see affirmations constantly, you know, then those things are coming back at you. Like the one I mentioned, like, I have the X factor for greatness, and I automatically am attracted toward those people, places, and events that elevate my highest potential. That one, you say it over and over. That's why you memorize it. Then when you're riding the car, that voice is coming at you. Yeah. When you say things over and over and over repeatedly, it becomes locked in your subconscious. And that comes back to actually help you towards your goal, help you toward your best marriage, healthy, happy, fun marriage. Marriage should be fun. Just have fun. Laugh, dance together. Have fun. Yeah. But see, we got to create the script. We got to create the voice of ourselves. We got to create those little knocks on our door when you're on our unconscious door when we're just riding in the car or just at home or who knows what, you know, talking to us, whispering to us. We need to create the whispers ourselves, you know, pushing us toward our greatness. That's what we need to have. And we can have that and more. Got to feel we deserve it first. Absolutely. Everybody got that? So very important. It reminds me, from a book I created what's called the Reconnected Creed. Reconnected Creed. And if you email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com, again, nrbookclub@gmail.com, actually send it to you. All right, listen to it. Here it goes. Say it to yourself every day. I can create, and I am creating, a powerful, passionate, peaceful, and productive life for myself. I have unimaginable abilities. I can do anything, acquire anything, be anything I want to be. Nothing is impossible for me. God created me for excellence, by excellence, and through excellence. His spirit resides in me, is a part of me, and is directing me constantly with me being the worthy co-pilot. All great things are available for my use and enjoyment. I'll be great at anything I choose to do because that is the only position I can take that I'll be satisfied with. Any and all problems I meet will be beneath me. I have the ability to always rise above my stresses and problems and come out a winner because I'm a natural winner and I love me for that. I can have the life I thought was only a dream with accomplishment of my goals and joy in my soul. Woo, end quote. Isn't that good? Yeah, like I said, if you want to get a copy of that, I email it to you. You email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com. nrbookclub@gmail.com. I want everybody to get this book Reconnected. Everybody should get this. Man, I'm telling you, Amazon, if you like Amazon, go there. You know? If you like Barnes & Noble, go there. You want to go to my site so I can sign it and personally mail it to you? Go to cloudsofabundance.com. Again, cloudsofabundance.com. All right? Very important to understand that. Okay? All right. As we wind down, we'll talk about one more facet. First of all, you can't talk more about self-esteem. It's so very important. Okay? So very important. All right? All right, a little bit more. I'm seeing a little more here. It might be a challenge for some of you to look at yourself in the mirror. I always love mirror work. Yeah. And save the affirmations. Often it's because there's an absence of self-love. If you don't love yourself, you don't feel comfortable looking at yourself with full approval and gratitude to God for producing you. Find a mirror and look at yourself right now. I'll stretch your arms very wide and smile and say, if your name is Yusuf, say, Yusuf, I love you, man. I really love you. I approve and support you. I am here for you. Yeah. Try that. How did it feel? Many of you, I bet, have some eerie vibes, and some people do. Got eerie vibes doing this, you know? For some of you, you couldn't say the word approve. Is that right? Or was it the word love? If you had a problem saying the words love or approve, do you know where you need to start? Everything you say in that mirror is directed to your inner child, and your inner child needs love and approval from you. Yeah. All right. I love Louise Hay. And Louise Hay, I study her too. She has a book, How You Can Heal Your Life. wonderful book. She says, great affirmation, I love and accept myself. Deep in the center of me flows an infinite wellspring of love. Love fills my whole being and radiates out from me in all directions, returning to me multiplied. I give and receive more love every day, and the supply is endless. Is that something? Yeah, end quote. Yeah. So very important to do this. All right? And when you guys tune to my show on Saturdays, oh, by the way, Reconnect the Show, if you go online, it's blogtalkradio.com, like this network, /reconnected. Okay, I'm on every Saturday, 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 11 o'clock Arizona and Pacific Time. And for those who love to call in, you can call the number 347-994-2524. Again, 347-994-2524. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you can listen to my Reconnected show. I have a theme song in there called Clouds of Abundance. Yeah, which I wrote. I'm also a musician. Yeah, I'm a jazz musician too and lyricist. Yeah. So the whole idea of starting this story with something positive, okay? So I'll give you some of the lyrics right now to that song. Right now it's like a poem. Clouds of abundance, keep on following me. I have known this for a while. I was born with a promised destiny. That is why I wear this smile. Clouds of abundance, keep on following me. I see the people stop and stare. All around me is more prosperity. There's no room for despair. Clouds of abundance, keep on following me. I do feel I'm in the flow. Just believe in your possibilities, and that is how your life will go. Clouds of abundance, keep on following me. You know that you deserve this too. Deep within, you'll see just what I see. There is abundance right there for you. Clouds of abundance, keep on following me, even though you might hit the wall. Look beyond your present difficulties. Move on faith and never stall. Clouds of abundance, keep on following me. I know that you want this too. Just believe in divine authority and the blessings will be there for you. Clouds of abundance, keep on following me. I have to share and keep on giving. Yes, the more I receive, there's more in charity. That's the way that I'm living. Clouds of abundance, keep on following me. All the doctors say I passed the tests. My health is vibrant. I'm full of energy. Only receive the best. Whew. Man, fantastic, fantastic, fantastic. All right. So affirmations, they're powerful tools to use on a daily basis. They represent where you want to be, not where you are. Okay? Affirmations pull you in the direction of your goals by affirming what is already inside you. Remember that I talked about the higher self? Yeah. Affirmations can and will, if internalized, raise your self-esteem and self-image. Your value and standards have increased because you are now believing something different from what you were believing before. See, once your belief changes, your life changes. The energy that you project changes, and then your environment changes. Your attraction changes. See, this goes this long line of marriages. It's, you know, I haven't left the topic. It's right in the pocket here. Once your belief about marriage changes, your life changes. The energy that you project changes, and then your attraction for the right mate changes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Very important to understand that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and doctor, you know, there's another doctor I study. I study a lot of these doctors in his personal growth field. Masters, you know. I follow them. I'm students of them. The other one was called Dr. Dennis Waitley. Dr. Dennis Waitley. Yeah. His book was called The Psychology of Winning, which I studied. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He says, quote, this is a quote from him. Though they recognize the universality of fear and anxiety, winners don't give in to these emotions. Accept yourself as you are right now, an imperfect, changing, growing worthwhile person. Realize that liking yourself and feeling that you are a super individual in your special way is not necessarily egotistical. No. Enjoy the unique person that you are just in being alive right now. Understand the truth that although we as individuals are not born with equal physical and mental attributes, we are born with the equal right to feel the excitement and joy in believing that we deserve the very best in life. Most successful people imagine and believe in their own worth, even when they have nothing but a dream to hold on to, end quote. Isn't that wonderful? Man, it's fantastic. You see, yeah, you have to sometimes be your own cheerleading squad, you know? Just imagine a bunch of you. I know it's kind of crazy, but I do it myself. It's kind of fun, actually. Just imagine a bunch of you in a mirror when you first wake up and go in the bathroom, just smiling at you and cheering you on. They're saying, hey, my man, you look good this morning. Yeah, you look like you're about to close a $1 million deal. You are awesome, man. You're fantastic. Yeah, yeah, I love the swag you got there. You're getting better and better each day, and it is a blessing to witness it right before our eyes. Your life is going great. Just as you have been envisioning it to be. You have money coming from different sources. Oh, yeah. You have a wife or husband that's just what you need in terms of support and partnership. You have a clientele base that is developing at skyrocketing rates because of your insight, training, mentoring, and decision-making skills. Your short and long-term goals are right on track. Your books are published, popular, best-selling. Your songs are produced and recorded by major artists, resulting in hits and royalties. You are financially independent, not needing to trade hours for dollars anymore. Yeah, no hours for dollars. Just imagining, end quote, by the way, all right. Just imagine that should cause some good feelings. Just imagine, you know, you do that in the morning and that kind of conversation comes back at you. You feel good walking out of that bathroom, huh? Be a little taller. Yeah. Now, self-esteem is also knowing that you can influence some kind of change in your environment. This feeling adds to your self-worth and gives your life more meaning. You need to know that you can make something change around you. You need to know that you have some kind of gift, talent, or answer that the world is needing. You do have the ability to deliver this message, and you know that this message will create needed changes that somebody will appreciate. Yeah. There have been cases in suicide counseling where clients have stated that they felt that nothing they did or could do would make any difference in any respect. They felt their life was meaningless. No one would miss them if they were gone. They have no connection to life itself and no answer as to why they are existing. It is important to know that there will be some kind of reaction to your action. You see? So relating to marriage, self-esteem in marriage. You know, like the man needs to know that they can make some kind of change in their environment. You know? Now, check this out. If the wife is doing everything, everything in the household, you know, now, the husband wants to do things, but she's just, you know, overachiever. She wants to do everything. You see? The husband comes home with nothing for him to do. That lowers his self-esteem in a marriage. Yeah. That lowers his self-esteem in a marriage. You see? Yeah. They want to feel that they can make a change somewhere. They got to, something can change, you know, through them in their relationship. That raises their self-esteem in a marriage. So wives, husbands out there, don't try to do everything. No. And the wife or husband, when they do something, yeah, give them compliments and validate them in those areas. You see? That's very important to understand that. That raises self-esteem in them, makes them a better mate for you. Keep that in mind. Yeah. So that's important to understand that, okay? Everybody got that? All right, very good. Well, I'm going to close it out, I believe, right here. And we're going to continue talking about self-esteem some more, because all this plays into having the best relationship and the best marriage. You know, now we're gonna have a series of this, a series of these talks. So, you know, just take some notes. And remember, if you can't, you know, get all this, just go to blogtalkradio.com/emailalfred. Scroll down to where it says improving and repairing relationships. My picture is right there, me and Email Alfred. You click on that and hear it. That way, you can go back. You can, you know, hit the mouse and take it back. Hear a certain point I'm making over and over again, like the affirmations I was talking about earlier, you know. And you can actually download this. You know, if you look at our picture, you see where it says download this episode. You can download this to your own hard drive and burn CDs, put it to your iPod, hear this in the radio, even share it with friends. Yeah, all this is free information, free tools, free therapy. If you go to the workshops on the weekend, you'll spend at least $500 plus your expenses to go to workshops over the weekend. Minimum $500, you know? Yeah. Yeah, here is free. So you know, if, you know, understand the value of what we're doing here. Even Alpha is doing something every day, and it has value. Understand the value. And he needs donations, too, to help this program going. So, you know, donate to the show, too. That's important also, okay? Okay. Now, again, I was reading and expanding on materials in my book, Reconnected, How to Be a Mentor to Your Child Self. You can go to a Barnes & Noble store, actual store, and buy it, or go online and get it there. If you have an e-book, like a Kindle or a Nook, you can get it that way. Spend like $8, or, you know, it's a $20 book, you see. Amazon, yep. My website, cloudsofabundance.com, again, cloudsofabundance.com. Email me at nrbookclub@gmail.com, nrbookclub@gmail.com. Okay? Real important. All right, got that? All right. So we'll close out today, and we'll be back next week for another episode of Improving and Repairing Relationships Part 2. Remember, we want to have the best tools to have a happy. You should smile, not have a headache when you go home because of the relationship. No. The relationship should take headaches away. Yeah, it should be healing and loving and full of compassion and fun. You should dance and have a good time together. Yeah, for sure. So, all right, we'll end like it first started. The peace that only God has with you. Assalamu alaikum.